Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
To have you with us on this Wednesday. Fun show coming up today. I think a lot of people don't realize, as I sit here in the Sunbury Motors studio, national TV is going to be here the next few days because of the Big Ten Network, and it's going to be the Big Ten Softball Championships. And Penn State gets a first-round bye, which is big. So we're looking forward to talking about that today. Penn State gets a bye into Friday. Now, are they in the same bracket, by the way, with Michigan, which is really good? Yep, they are. But that's still a first-round bye is important in all of this. And they've got that. So that's coming up. Penn State, Maryland. Penn State, Maryland, in football is going to be the homecoming game, as you know. And that game will be at noon. That game will be at noon. So there's a lot going on. Sean, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Absolutely.
Patrick Chambers on the show tomorrow. By the way, Penn State head basketball coach.
Excited for the new recruits to come in.
New recruits. Joe Hampton, in fact, is here starting on Saturday. And that will be important for a couple reasons. First of all, Oak Hill Academy graduates earlier than most high schools. That's why Josh Reeves started here the same time a year ago. So we'll get Joe Hampton here. He'll be paired up, obviously, with Josh Reeves, his buddy from Oak Hill. That's big. As you know, Joe is coming off an ACL that happened in October. By getting him here on campus and started in class, and he'll begin the first six-week session here at Penn State, it gives him a jump academically. It eases him into the academic system. But also it keeps him around Jonathan Salazar, the trainer, who's Jonathan Salazar's outstanding. And when you're rehabbing between that and being around the strength and conditioning coach, Brandon Spade, this is exactly what Joe Hampton's going to need. Now, he has really bounced back quickly from this. The last time I talked to Joe was in early March, Joe Hampton. And he said, no, he says, you know, Mr. Jones, you know, it's like, okay, guys, you can call me Steve. You know, they're making me feel old now. I keep being called Mr. Jones. They're making me feel old now.
I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I got to stop myself before I call you sir. But
Lainey Pierce, have you seen the Big Ten commercial where Lainey Pierce, her sister, and her parents are on the Big Ten commercial together?
I have.
As a Penn State family. Well, yesterday at the corporate partners luncheon, Lainey was the student-athlete speaker. You know, Lainey came here as a walk-on, and she earned her scholarship. She earned her scholarship from Russ Rose. By the way, I had a long conversation with Russ Rose yesterday, none of which will be repeated here. All right. We were talking golf and all sorts of things.
That's the first thing I was thinking, golf, yes. Swings.
Russ and I talked a lot of golf yesterday. You know, Russ and I talked a lot of golf yesterday.
But who has been out on the course more so far this year? You or him?
We compared notes, and it's pretty close. And I did something. Yeah, I wasn't even going to mention this, but I actually did something yesterday. It was kind of cool. I actually eagled 18.
Way to go!
Yes, I eagled 18. It's a par 5. See, Wakeman would like that. See, Wakeman would be like, wow. But Lady Pierce gets up and she says, you know, I introduced her and I said a couple things, whatever. And she says, hey, Mr. Jones. I'm like, going, huh. But back to Joe Hampton, he goes, well, Mr. Jones, I'm running now. This was back in early March. So if he's been running now for 2 months, that's a real plus. But getting him here, where the rules are more liberal now in basketball in terms of off-season work that coaches can do here and there, that helps. But also it puts him under the guidance of a trainer like Jonathan Salazar, under a strength and conditioning coach like Brandon Spade. These are big pluses, and Joe Hampton has a chance to be a really good player here. I know a lot of people have concentrated, and justifiably so, on the trio from Roman Catholic, Naz Bostic, Lamar Stevens, and Tony Carr. Now, by the way, the 7-footer they got in, too, Pierce, who's going to transfer in from Satchel Pierce from Virginia Tech. And people forget about Mike Watkins. They forget about Terrence Samuel, who sat out last year. That's 6 potentially dynamic players. I mean, I'll watch Watkins and Samuel in person. I've watched them practice, I don't know, 60, 70 times now. Now, I've seen Carr, Stevens, and Bostic, and Hampton. I've seen all of them in person. So that's, you know, that along the way. You buy a ticket to the PIAAs, you can go see anybody. Okay. that's not an issue. But those guys I've seen a lot of. Now, I've never seen the 4 guys in practice. I've never seen that. But Joe Hampton has a chance. Really good inside-out player. And that's going to be, I mean, he has a chance to be really good. But getting him early, where he is now, especially when you're coming off an ACL like he has, right? They'll have a chance, I think, to help reshape his body just a bit. Although I thought he looked in better shape in March than I'd seen him previously. And he moves. He has a good outside shot facing the bucket. He absolutely can mix it up inside. But getting him here early, important. Schedule-wise, this is probably the toughest schedule I've seen Penn State have since 2000-2001. Toughest non-conference schedule. Conference speaks for itself. You already know that Duke's on there. That's an absolute. They are going to play Duke. Then they'll play either Cincinnati or Rhode Island. They're going to play Pitt at the Prudential Center. And, of course, they still have the ACC Challenge game they haven't announced yet. And there's a couple others that they haven't not announced yet. One home is a very good game for sure. And then they've got another one on the road that's going to be really good. Well, but we'll wait to announce that when they get that. And then there's only 2 spots they have open right now. And they may have the 2 spots filled by Friday. What I understand. I had a long talk with Pat yesterday. But Pat's going to be on the show tomorrow, Pat Chambers. And we're also going to talk, obviously, about the 20th anniversary of the Coaches versus Cancer Golf Tournament, which is coming up the 2nd and 3rd here at Penn State. I mean, they've raised between $2 million and $3 million now for the Coaches versus Cancer cause in the first 19 years. It's pretty good. We will take a break. Last night, the Penguins did win in overtime. The Penguins played a brilliant opening two periods last night. Every 90%, I'd say 80 to 90% of the 50-50 pucks last night, the Penguins got in the first two periods. They played A to A-plus hockey last night in the first two periods. The third period, they received an absolute F. I've never seen a team, never have seen a team, get three delay of game penalties.
Me neither. Man, that was driving me crazy.
Never. Now, the Beninos was, look, he kind of batted the thing out of the air and inadvertently went over the glass. He was just trying to get it out from out front. And so that one I can excuse. The other two I don't excuse. Those are just bad plays. That's just bad plays. But then they come out in overtime, and they play overtime like the first two periods. Like the third period never existed. And by the way, just as identifiers for everybody, 71 and 87 are Geno Malkin and Sidney Crosby combined, because last night, for the most part, those two guys were invisible. And I'll give Ovechkin a lot of credit. When it comes to the ability to fan on a shot, nobody better.
He's going to catch a lot of flack for losing the series. It's definitely not all his fault.
Well, no, but you know what? He was out on the ice a lot. I mean, he was out on the ice 24, 25 minutes during regulation. So, I mean, he played a lot. And he had opportunities, but man, he let a few of those opportunities go by the boards. Pete Jensen's going to join us today, so we'll talk with Pete about the Stanley Cup playoffs. I-80, what's our update on I-80 here?
Interstate,
it's going to be close.
It's Interstate 180.
Yeah, it's going to be close for hours. Oh, yeah. 180.
Yep,
okay,
Interstate,
so it's 180.
Yeah, mile marker 2, Interstate 180, eastbound. A couple of vehicles were seen caught on fire close to 3 hours ago. And yes, at last check, we'll be closed for quite a while longer, and we'll let you know if something changes there.
Yeah, a lot of stories coming up on the news today. And that's one of them. I-180. Salinsgrove school budget discussed at a board meeting. No new taxes expected in the Midwest school district. And a lot going on. So we'll talk about that. But Pete Jensen's going to be on the show today. Looking forward to having him from NHL.com. Tomorrow, Patrick Chambers on the show. Working on Jordan Hill for Friday, by the way. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Audrey Snyder, DK Sports, is going to join us today, next half hour. And Pete Jensen, NHL.com. And tomorrow, Patrick Chambers will be on the show. All right, great to have you with us, as always, on the show today. I suppose, well, we'll get to the bozo of the day a little bit later. It has to do with balloons. So we'll talk about that.
Okay, that narrows it down.
Yeah. Has to do with balloons.
Keep us locked in, my friend.
it's a Ruth Rudy moment. All right. She was the state representative here in the Center County when this particular situation actually came up here. But we will get the play-by-play call of the day as well, this day in sports history. Tom Condon says the handwriting is on the wall for his client. Look, just go play ball. He's Sam Bradford's agent. Just play ball. Nobody has sympathy for your situation. None. Zip. Zilch. Yesterday was the West Virginia primary. You want to have sympathy for people? Talk to the coal miners. Okay? Have sympathy for them. okay? But I have no sympathy for an $18 million a year quarterback. I just don't. People do not have sympathy for rich people problems. Okay? They just don't. I'm sorry. I mean, I realize you want to be able to, you know. I mean, I understand, but come on. I mean, you'll get another job. I mean, he will. He will get another job. It's, my client sees the handwriting on the wall. Well, no offense, but guess what? All of us see the handwriting on the wall. Go play. You'd be shocked how many people, in a league looking for quarterbacks, they'll want you.
There's got to be at least a handful of teams right now would love to have him on the team.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So,
and it's still a bad look for him whether he signed the contract 2 months ago or 2 years ago. That doesn't matter.
He wanted to go to the Denver Broncos. I got it. And it's he wanted to go to the Denver Broncos. I got it. It does confirm that the Broncos were looking to make a deal, all right, with him, or the Eagles were looking to make a deal for Bradford. All right, I got that part. But the funny thing about the Bradford thing is if he's dealt to Denver, guess what he's going to end up with? Paxton Lynch! I mean, please! There's no difference between the two. None. Except maybe you think Lynch takes longer. I mean, maybe. Because, I mean, Lynch does have a higher learning curve than Carson Wentz does. Wentz does some stuff at the line of scrimmage, changes some plays, things like that. Lynch has never huddled before. Lynch doesn't have to change plays at the line of scrimmage. Lynch never had to. I mean, Lynch has never taken a snap under center, for goodness sakes. That's a lot of nevers. I'm not big on a lot of nevers when it comes to a job. It would be like, oh, we're going to hire Steve Jones. Okay, well, he's never done a talk show. He's never done a sportscast. He's never done play-by-play. He's never done sports. That's a lot of nevers. But he has a good voice.
Yeah, but that's more than half the battle.
In some ways, yes.
Right.
Having some semblance of knowledge does not hurt you. All right, Audrey Snyder, next half hour. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15.
Or Turbotville, New Columbia. Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Humble's Wharf. In a moment, Audrey Snyder, first this day in sports history. In 1946, the Boston Braves at Braves Field hosted the first night game. Giants beat the Braves 5-1. Braves Field today is now known as Nickerson Field. You can see it right off the Mass Pike. And it's where Boston University used to play football. Now they play soccer there. 1977, Ted Turner managed a game for the Atlanta Braves. It is the only game he managed for the Atlanta Braves. It didn't take long for it to get to Bowie Kuhn, the commissioner's attention, and he ended the experiment of Ted Turner managing the Braves. 1996, Al Leiter threw his first no-hitter, the first no-hitter in Florida Marlins history. Rafael Palmeiro, 500th career home run in 2003, but he'll never make the Hall of Fame. And Tom Brady was suspended by the NFL. It was announced a year ago today. They would suspend him for the first four games without pay. How did that work? Let's bring in Audrey Snyder now from DK Pittsburgh Sports. Audrey, it is great to hear you again. How have you been?
I've been great, Steve. Just enjoying this nice rainy State College weather, but otherwise great.
Yeah, it's been poor. I didn't think it was supposed to rain here today. Come on.
Yeah, and I didn't realize that, and I'm pretty sure it hasn't stopped all day. So I guess this is spring around here.
Yeah, allegedly. Obviously, we know that there's certain things that have hung over this place and hung over this program now for almost 4.5 years. Mm-hmm. So let's discuss it now from the current point of view, at least the direction I'm going to go with. What kind of challenges does James Franklin and his staff face just because this doesn't go away?
Right. And I think the thing is, from a football perspective, I mean, nothing changes. You know, you look at the on-field stuff, that's going to continue to be the same. And obviously, there's more national attention coming to light because of, you know, the allegations from last week. And it goes back to everything, Steve, that I feel like has been kind of hanging over this place for the last few years, which is who knew what and when. You know, that to me, it keeps going back to that. And it will continue to go back to that. And living here, I think I definitely get a different perspective on it because you're seeing it every day. You're hearing from people wherever you are. You're going to have the people who are on the Paterno side, the people who just can't understand why Penn State acted the way they did or didn't act the way they did. It never ends. But from the football perspective of it, I mean, this is classic. You're doing what you're doing on the field, and James Franklin and his staff, to their credit, have done a really good job in the past of tuning everything out. I mean, as close as this thing got to them was when the bowl ban was lifted and they went through that. But the rest of this stuff, I mean, this is all off-field stuff that, of course, continues to pop up, and understandably so, but the football impact is minimal, if at all.
Right. Well, and, you know, I think the one area where you would think would be, of course, negative recruiting does happen. I know that's a stunning revelation for many in the audience, but it does, and that's about the only area I can think of. What does it say to you that through all of this, that the Penn State fan may not sell out, but turns out in the numbers they do?
I mean, I think it's difficult to see because this is a fan base, to me, that is still divided in many ways when you look at everything that happened here in the past and the way it was handled and how people aren't on the same page with that, just from a fan perspective. So I think Penn State fans, from the ones that I interact with on social media, on our site, so many of them have this feeling that, like, they need to prove to other people that, you know, they're sports fans, that they're decent human beings, that they're not a representation of everything that happened here, because their understanding, and from the way they've explained it to me, is that they feel like everything that happened is then reflected upon the fan base. And so obviously that's an unfair characterization. So I think a lot of people are trying to maybe do good or make it look like they're doing better as a fan base or more well-behaved, however you want to have it, just so that they're not a reflection of everything that happened here.
All right, let's satellite camps are back in. What do you see the pluses and any perceived minuses of satellite camps? Because one second they're banned, the next minute they're back. And we know James Franklin has gone the satellite camp route before.
Definitely. I think the good thing for Penn State and for everybody here, I mean, the winners in all of this are the kids. They're the ones who get to go to these camps. It cuts down on travel costs for them, their families. I had a chance to talk to a lot of parents last year at these camps, and I went to the one at Old Dominion, and there were hundreds of parents that had their summers mapped out based off of these different satellite camps, not just Penn State's, but, you know, every other school. They were going to Michigan satellite camps, and for them, it's a way to just hit as many schools, see as many coaching staff, get as much exposure as possible. For Penn State, the way it's mapped out so far, trying to piece this whole thing together, they'll go out to Bowling Green, they're going to be in Charlotte, North Carolina, then they're going to go back to Old Dominion. They'll also do, I believe, 4 or 5 of the Sound Mind, Sound Body camps that they've done in the past. So those are kind of all over the place. I think you have to wonder from a recruiting budget standpoint, it goes back to what is the return on the investment. And every school, I think, has to wonder that to some extent, because you're going out there, you're spreading your brand. But are you bringing kids in? And Penn State can say, okay, they have a kicker and a punter coming in now as a result of a satellite camp. But is that enough to justify whatever this number is in the budget? To me, that's the big minus, but really the only one.
And probably that's not something that we can get a handle on maybe for 4 or 5 years and then make that assessment.
Absolutely. It's still too soon to say, but I think over time we'll see. And, of course, you know, what other parameters will the NCAA put in place come September with these camps? And, you know, how will they limit them or, you know, try to make them maybe a little more civil, perhaps?
Right, and that's and what's interesting. They're all over the place right now across the board. For example, Ohio State and Rutgers and others, you know, they're putting their camps into New Jersey. So it's an aggressive push by everybody to be involved in something like this. Does it benefit the student-athlete because now, the potential student-athlete, because many of these camps are at least within a reasonable range as opposed to coming into State College?
Absolutely. It's less travel for them, but it's also the opportunity where they can see many staffs at one place. And it's not just your big-time D1 programs either. I mean, you'll get camps where you could have 80 to 100 different coaching staffs represented. So for the kid who, you know, isn't good enough to play D1, you're going to have the smaller schools there who it's also a recruiting pool for them to be able to see some of these guys. So all across the board, I mean, you're cutting travel costs way down for these families. So that, to me, is the biggest thing. And it's also a time component. You know, you're going there, you're doing one workout, you're going to be getting seen by so many position coaches and head coaches, too, that it's really best for everybody. And if they like you enough, they want you to camp again, they're probably going to tell you to go to the camp on their campus anyway. But it's more exposure across the board.
Okay, the Big Ten, they haven't officially announced it, but it's been reported in Business Sports Journal about half of the Tier 1 rights would potentially go to Fox. The number potentially would be 6 years, $1.5 billion. And that ESPN tried to underbid again like they did 10 years ago and then got burned by the Big Ten Network. What does the potential of that contract tell you about live sports and the Big Ten brand at this point?
And I think, Steve, when you look at the Big Ten and remember when the big push, and we heard Joe Paterno say it so many times that they wanted a team from the East. You know, they wanted a team, they wanted to push into that New York market as well. And so I think that's what they're hoping to get with Rutgers. But live sports, I mean, this, to me, you're going to have people wherever they are, and you're seeing people now stream sporting events through so many different devices. It's not even the in-home experience anymore. It's, you know, are you watching the game on your phone while you're in the car? Are you on a tablet? To me, there's just right. So many avenues to this thing right now that really, I mean, you're going to see probably a lot of crazy bidding wars, I would imagine, for live sports, you know, within the next few years, because everybody wants in on it. And it takes away from what's happening in stadiums, of course, but as a consumer of it, I get it. I mean, I enjoy watching games from at home on my couch while streaming something else on a phone and having another computer screen set on something else. So I totally get it.
And what's interesting, though, is that, you know, if you talk to the TV networks, now here's the interesting part. They want the stadiums full because they want the ambiance mm-hmm. to come through the set.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how you do that, though. I mean, especially with, and you look at places, any college campus, especially here, just the costs for a weekend alone for people to go to a game when you factor in, you know, gas, hotel, tickets, food, all that stuff, it's become so expensive for the average person.
Then there's the Big 12. There's the possibility of them expanding. Oklahoma is even debating internally as to whether they're in favor or not. when you look at Power 5 conferences, the SEC and the Big Ten have positioned themselves obviously beautifully in what you just talked about. For other conferences, what are some of the perils that they face over the next few years in competing with those two conferences that have positioned themselves as well as you say they have?
That's a difficult one because you look at where these other schools are, and obviously there's a geographical component to all of this too, and you know, you see that with the ACC where you have teams going everywhere. And I think because football always generates the headlines with any kind of conference shift, and I understand that, but you have to look at how it impacts all of the other sports too. And I think one of the things that kind of caught my attention just within this spring is looking at baseball. And you look at baseball in the ACC, baseball in the Big 12, and kind of how those things are lining up and how the ACC is thriving in baseball, which is making it harder on a school like Pitt, and the Big 12's having a down year. But then you've got, you know, these kids are student-athletes that are supposed to be focusing on academics, at least to some extent, but you're playing games all over the country. So, to me, geography, you have to somehow strike a balance. And at least in the Big 10, I mean, could you imagine if Penn State, football especially, if they were regularly making trips to Nebraska for a game? I mean, that would be brutal. I remember a few years ago when they were out there, just how difficult of a time it was for media members to get there because it's, you know, it's just a tough place to get to. So to me, you have to take that into account with expansion. And is there a good plan? I don't know. What does that best plan look like? They're going to have to try and figure that out.
Because West Virginia is a good example of what you just talked about. They're the ones that are separated from the pack. Their closest road trip in the conference is Iowa State.
Just a little trip down the road.
I mean, that's as close as it gets. That's not one, hey, let's hop in the bus and go. That's why this thing is a little bit out of whack. And then, of course, the Pac-12's got some issues right now, as well as to what they're dealing with. One of the areas that somebody said the Big 12 should concentrate on would be fighting to get maybe extra, expand the college football playoff to 8 instead of expanding the Big 12. How do you feel about expanding the college football playoff?
You know, I'm fine with the playoff the way it is, and I know a lot of people aren't.
I'm with you.
Yeah, I mean, just the fact that there is a playoff right now, to me, that's great. You're not watering anything down to get there. I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah, because that's what they said they should be concentrating. Concentrate on expanding the playoff. Because they went to a group in Chicago, Navigate, which did a piece on what they could do to improve themselves, and they said if they expanded to 12 teams, they would then have a true East-West or North-South championship game. They could increase their chances of getting to the college football playoff by 15%. All right, you paid that much money? I could have told you that. Audrey, you and I should have gone into consulting, told them the same thing, just taken the money, split it, and go.
Yeah, we totally missed our calling, Steve. That was our chance.
And we have all the answers. That's what's really great about this.
Oh, absolutely. Just ask us.
Audrey, it's an absolute pleasure. It's great to hear from you again. Can't wait to see you soon.
You got it, Steve. Take care.
Audrey Snyder, DK Sports out of Pittsburgh. Great to have her with us on the show. Next half hour, Pete Jensen, NHL.com. The Penguins are in the conference final where they'll take on the Tampa Bay Lightning. They won in overtime last night as Bonino scored the game winner in OT. We'll talk to Pete next half hour as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
If you thought 100 years in business was impressive, SMC is going to show you 101 is even more spectacular. During the month of May, Sunbury Motors Ford is going to sell 101 new Fords by discounting every new Ford to the lowest price possible. Plus, give you more for your trade. SMC is where you want to be if you want to choose from 42 new Escapes starting at $18,880. SMC is where you want to be if you want to choose from 85 new F-150s starting at $23,749.
saving you up to $11,400.
SMC is where you want to be if you want 0% financing for 72 months on Focuses, Fusions, Edges, Escapes, and Explorers. Now is the time to take advantage of Sunbury Motors' goal to sell 101 new Fords in May. SMC's goal is your gain. 101 vehicles sold means you'll save more money than ever before. Sunbury Motors and their 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for 101 years.
Thanks to Audrey Snyder for being on the show today. It's always great having Audrey on and getting her perspective, talking with her. The college football playoff, I'd keep it at four for now. I'd like to just see how it plays out for a period of time before I even think about expanding to eight, adding another weekend layer of playoff. You know, sometimes more isn't always better. I think so far it has worked out. And believe me, if you go to eight, the complaints will then be about eight and nine. We've seen that with the NCAA basketball tournament. NCAA basketball tournament goes at one point to 48. Well, then the complaints were about 49, 50, 51, and 52. They go to 64, the complaints were then about 65, 6, 7, and 8. They go to 68, the complaints are now about 69, 70, 71, 72. It's always that first four out. What did they do to not warrant getting in? Why did X get in and Y didn't? You're always going to get that regardless of the number. You can expand the college football playoff to 16, and you're going to get complaints about 17, 18, 19, and 20, and have their arguments as to why they're out and they're in. So at four, and I really feel that you already have the extra layer in place. It's not a perfect layer, but the extra layer is in place with the conference championship games. Michigan State had to really essentially win its way in by defeating Iowa in the conference championship game. And the winner of that game legitimately was in the college football playoff. I mean, if Iowa won the game, they would have been in. And then you have, but Michigan State did win, so they got in. Not so with, now Oklahoma didn't have to win the playoff to get in. Oklahoma just played their schedule, they got in. You know, Clemson had to win their championship game over North Carolina to get in. Clemson loses the game, they're out. Now somebody else maybe get bumped. Now who got bumped up into that spot? I'm not sure who would have made it. It may have been Stanford, for example, because there was no Pac-12 representative. Alabama loses the championship game in the SEC. And it's not a laughable problem. Alabama would never lose it. It's not a laughable proposition. Every time you go out there, you're risking the possibility that you're going to lose. And Alabama played Florida. And I think most people knew that Florida was not fighting to get into the college football playoff. But that was my argument the first year of this, was that Oregon, Florida State, Ohio State, and Alabama, all four of those teams did something that TCU and Baylor did not have to do. They had to go through that extra layer. They had to go through that additional hurdle. And because you are facing another divisional champion when you do that, you are facing somebody that is at minimum good and obviously knows how to win. They just won a division title. You're not facing one of the bottom teams from the other side. You're facing the team that won the other side. They may not have the record you do, but they're also not considered to be an easy hurdle for you. And that was always my argument about the Big 12. The Big 12 right now, to me, has to be really good to get in. And the reason I think they have to be really good and have representative really good to get in terms of perception, is because you can't look at the ACC, the Pac-12, the SEC, and the Big Ten winners that have to clear the additional hurdle that they don't have to clear. If Ohio State had lost to Wisconsin, I know they blew them out, they shut them out, and they blew them out. I understand that. But if Ohio State loses to Wisconsin, they're not in. If who did Alabama play in the title game 2 years ago? Was it... I'm trying to think who they played. such a memorable game. Was it Georgia? Maybe Georgia. They lose that game, they're not in. If Oregon loses their game to, I think it was Stanford, they're not in. Florida State loses to Georgia Tech, they're not in. Meanwhile, TCU and Baylor are watching the games. So that's the issue the Big 12 has. Now, they're allowed to have a title game now, but they get to tell you which two teams are in there. No divisions. And they decided just to back off that. That proposal was on the table, and they quickly backed off. I think the vote was 7-2 to let them just go with 10, and they can pick the two teams they want to play in the title game. That's fine. Hockey, next half hour with Pete Jensen. Penguins are in the final of the conference against Tampa Bay. We're in the Sunbury Motor Studio.